This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 8. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John 8. If you don't have a Bible app or your physical Bible, there's some in the pews. You're welcome to use one of those. John chapter 8. We're going to really zero in on verses 27 to 36 or so this morning. Have you guys been to New York City? Has anybody? No. My wife and I, we went there actually as part of our honeymoon. We went to Niagara Falls first, and that was really cool. We stayed there for most of our honeymoon, and then we went over to New York City. We'd never been there, just to see a few of the sights, and it was cool. God always has divine appointments wherever we go if we're expecting that and trusting Him for that. So that was really neat. But one of the neat things in New York City is the Statue of Liberty. That is a huge lady. It's over 300 feet tall with the pedestal and the base and everything. It's just this massive, massive structure. And if you've ever seen the Statue of Liberty, it's really impressive. She's got the torch in her hand, which symbolizes, you know, giving light and illumination. It was actually changed up from the original design. The original design, she was supposed to have chains, like broken chains that she was holding, and it was to celebrate the end of slavery in America, and they switched that up for some reason and decided to go with that tablet with the inscription on it. But then at the feet, there's a broken chain there that they did. But there is a poem there, or at least a bit of writing. I want to share that with you this morning. Very famous words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. The Statue of Liberty, if you've ever seen it, you might have noticed it's got the seven spikes or whatever, I don't know, whatever they call them in the at the top there. They're symbolic of the seven continents and the seven oceans. And it's an invitation for people, no matter where you come from, that you can come to America out of whatever mess that you're in somewhere else, you know, at least in theory, that you can, if you can get here, that you can leave that behind and you can come here and set those burdens aside to embrace a new life here in America and enjoy the freedoms that we have here. One of the neat things about that is that invitation is open to the world, you know, for people to come and to find freedom. And it really, in some ways, it symbolizes so much God's invitation. You know, I see in Scripture that God wants people to come out of bondage. You know, that's His desire, that people would leave behind, that they would escape sin and suffering and all the mess of their lives, whether they've inflicted it upon themselves or somebody else, that they would leave that behind and come experience freedom, true freedom in Christ, from their, certainly from sin first and foremost, but then even God addressing the mess in their lives and resolving issues of their needs and their burdens. And one of the neat things about God is He is so faithful. Man, we take Him at His word. If you read the word of God and there's a promise there, and you can take God at His word. And God does marvelous things when we're honest with Him and take Him at His word. So I've titled the message today, "The Truth Will Set You Free." The truth will set you free. And we're looking at John chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 27. I want to give you a little context of this situation. Jesus is addressing a crowd. And in this crowd, there's a variety of people, including some Pharisees, who are really not very open to what Jesus has to say. They're trying to rebut whatever He is saying and argue with Him and challenge His statements. And in the context of what's going on here, Jesus is revealing some really profound things to this crowd. He's telling them that He is sent from the Father. He's telling them, listen, I'm not just another rabbi. I'm not just a good teacher. He said, I'm sent here by the Father. And these words that I'm speaking to you, which the Pharisees are arguing against, He said, you're not arguing against me. You know, just a person standing in front of you. These are the words of the Father. These are the words of God that you are arguing against. So He tells them, I am from the Father. These words are from the Father. And He goes even further. He tells them about His crucifixion. He talks about being lifted up. and how there will be clarity that will come to them. There'll be understanding for other people when they see him lifted up and understand he's dying for my sins, that there'll be a whole new understanding of who Jesus is. And then he even makes another one of his I am statements, which he does several times in John, which is clearly him saying, I'm God. It's a designation. He's claiming divinity. So starting here in verse 27 this morning, but they still didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. He mentioned the one who had sent him. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we're descendants of Abraham, they said. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free.
Amen.
So the first thing for us to recognize this morning is it is God's intention for you to be free. It is God's intention for you to experience freedom. This is why Jesus came, to set captives free, to release prisoners, to free us up from sin and from death. There are a lot of voices in my life that argue against that sometimes. You know, we have the old man. The Bible talks about the old man, or those old sin patterns, that sin nature in us. Of course, the world around us talks a lot of false freedom and a lot of things that would try to keep us captive. The devil certainly wants to lie to us and bring up the past and bring up our own weaknesses and our failings and remind us of those things. But God's intention for you and I today is freedom, real freedom. And it begins, the first step of that freedom. And a second thing for us to recognize is that freedom from the penalty of sin. Amen. This is where it has to start. Jesus came to die in our place on that cross, to take all of our sin upon himself, and to suffer not only physically, but the wrath of God against our sins, so that that penalty has been paid. That by grace through faith, we trust in Jesus Christ, we can be set free and forgiven forever. John 3:16-17, God's word says, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Charles Spurgeon, preacher of a couple generations ago, told a story about this English prince. And this prince went to Spain to visit the king of Spain. And the king of Spain, in welcoming this English prince, he said, I want to do something in your honor. And he took him to a gallows ship where they have the slaves that, if you've seen the movies back in the day, maybe seen some portrayals of this, but they would have however many, you know, dozens of men on each side of these large ships, and they were chained to the oars, and they were slaves. They had no choice, but they would often serve in this way, rowing these ships until they died. And so this king, he took the prince there, and he said, In your honor, I'm going to release one of these prisoners. They're going to be free, so you pick one. Who do you want to go free? And the prince said, okay, well, I'm going to talk to them. And so he, to help him choose, he went up to one prisoner and he said, my poor fellow, I'm just so sorry to see you here chained in this situation. And can you tell me, how is it that you came to be here? And the man said, there were false witnesses against me, and they gave false testimony, and I am suffering wrongly. I should not be here. I should be free. And the prince said, okay, indeed. So he went on to another prisoner, and he asked him the same thing. And he said, I'm so sorry to see you here. Can you tell me your story? How did you end up here? And the man said, sire, I did some wrong things, but I nothing of any great extent. I certainly don't deserve this. I didn't do anything that bad. And the prince went on and he talked to man after man after man, and each one had a similar story, similar thing to say of how they didn't really deserve to be there, until the prince came to one man and he asked him why he was there. And the man said, "Sire, I'm thankful I'm here because I deserve worse." He said, I am guilty of everything they've accused me of. I am a sinful wretch, and they should have put me to death. And it was merciful that they put me on this ship and chained me here." And the prince, having some wisdom and some wit, he said to the man, it is just a real pity and a shame that such a wretch as you would be chained here, and all these innocent people have to deal with you being here. So I'm going to set you free." And he did that. You know, the beginning of freedom for all of us in Christ, it comes with honesty. You know, we have to come to a place of honesty with God and say, "God, not only are you who you say you are, but I'm who you say I am. I am a sinner. And I need what Jesus did at the cross for me. I need to come to the cross and trust in that, because I can't make myself right with you any other way." And so we have to come to God on His terms and be honest with Him. And that little bit of honesty, God does something awesome. And the shackles fall. That was my experience. I didn't know how heavy my chains were until they fell off when I trusted in Jesus. And I just felt like I was walking on air. All the guilt and all the shame and all the sin. God does wonderful things when we're honest with Him. But it begins with that first step of coming to Jesus and being freed from that penalty that He's paid for us. And we are made new when that happens. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we've been made right with God in His sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." It's the beginning of freedom, this place of joy in our life where we experience salvation and all that shame and that guilt is removed by grace, and it's through faith in Jesus, His shed blood for us. You know, before salvation, I think I did what most people do, and I tried to justify myself. And I thought, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You compare yourself with other people, and I thought, I'm not like that guy who's a serial killer. I'm not Hitler. I mean, I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm not as bad as these people. You know, we do that. We try to justify ourselves. But the thing is, that doesn't release us from our sin or our shame or our guilt. And on some level, I think we know. You know, we keep carrying that around. But when we come to Christ for salvation, He frees us up from that mentality and those lies of that checklist religion and thinking somehow we're going to make ourselves right with God. He frees us up from that. In Galatians 5, verse 1, and then verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." So he's saying, you are free from all that self-effort. "But we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there's no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." God's saying, you are free from your opinion of yourself. You're free of other people's opinion of you. You're free of trying to justify yourself. You are free of fear of your future now and what awaits you when you die. You are free of trying to do your best. You are free of your past and all the hurts and the hang-ups from that. You are free in Christ Jesus of all that. But not only that, we need to recognize also that we are free from the power of sin. Not only the penalty of sin in our life, but we need to recognize that we have freedom from the power of sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible tells us, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm in Christ. It's not self-effort. It is God who enables this. He has commissioned us, and He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything. Everything He has promised us. Every blood-bought promise of Christ has been purchased for us, and the Holy Spirit has been given as a gift that guarantees those promises. And as a young believer, I didn't understand that. I mean, I could read the Word, and the Holy Spirit would help me to understand intellectually, but understand experientially that whether I feel it or not, in faith, I know it's true, you know, from the Word of God, that I do have the Holy Spirit, and He can bring the promises of God to life in me, and that I can stand on those promises, and that I can trust in Him to do a work in my heart. And as I would look to God's presence instead of self-effort and trust in the Holy Spirit to help me with this and to apply the Word of God, I found that my thinking started to change. The way that I looked at things and my desires started to change and my self-will started to surrender to God's will in my life. Another thing for us to recognize today, a fourth thing, we are not only free from something, but we are free to something. We are not only free from sin, but we are free to live good and godly lives in the power of the Holy Spirit in alignment with the Word of God. We are free to live out a life of love and of goodness and of righteousness and of faith and trusting in God, of His Word, bringing our lives into alignment with His will by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't do it ourselves. We are free to something. One of the ways that I look at this, one of the lies of the enemy, and I run into this conversation all the time with non-believers, is that a lot of people who don't know Christ think that the Bible is a set of rules to like shackle you, and it's the exact opposite. Right. It's the key to freedom. Right. It's the unshackling with the Word of God. But I think of it this way. If you like to play tennis or pickleball, and we have some in the house. Yeah. Don't let her play you for money. She's really good. If you like to play those things, or maybe football or baseball, whatever, you know, we have boundary lines within those, and you can't really enjoy the freedom of that game and experience that game unless you have those lines, those out of bound lines or that foul line, whatever that may be. But within that, those good boundaries, in order to be able to play the game and experience that, you have a lot of freedom. You have a lot of freedom. It's the same way following Christ. We are unshackled to be able to live God's good will for us in this world. And God's boundary lines are for our good. Now, there are times that I go out of bounds. I'm not perfected yet. There are times, you know, and maybe well-intentioned. I'm going to go for the ball, and the Lord's saying, stop, and I'm out of bounds somewhere. And there's consequences. You know, if you run out, I don't know in tennis, I don't know enough. What's the if you run out, is there some? If you hit the ball out of bounds?
It's not, yeah. It's okay. Not you, it's the ball.
Okay, the ball, okay. Well, football, we'll go with football. So, yeah, I mean, there's limitations. There's limitations. And we go out of bounds. We're not sinless yet. We're not perfected yet. But when we go out of those boundaries, there are consequences, yet God is so gracious. And He's saying, I'm not done with you. You're a knucklehead. You're my messy kid, but I'm bringing you back in bounds according to my word and the power of my spirit, because you can't pick yourself back up. I'm going to bring you back in, and we're going to get back on track. And God is so good and faithful to do that. But over time, we realize, you know what? Living within the Word of God and in the boundaries that are set for me and enjoying living His will, whether I'm carrying the ball or blocking or whatever, this is really good. Like, this is so much better than hanging out in the stands. I really love being here and being part of what God is doing. It's so good. And we learn that it's better to live His way. It's better to receive His word. It's better to obey. It's better to trust Him. It's better to embrace that being made new in Him. You know, there's a sense in which at salvation we are new. The Bible says we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But there's a living it out in this world, a sanctification process that happens, and He begins changing us. I think of football. I was terrible. I hope none of you guys saw me play. My wife, do you remember seeing me play? I wasn't memorable. She was a cheerleader, and I played a little football, but yeah, you don't want to see the footage. I hope somebody lost it over at Taylor. Hopefully that got burned years ago. You know, there's that sense in which in God's grace, he's like, you know what? You're pretty puny. That was me. I was like the second smallest guy on the team. He's like, you're pretty scrawny, but in my grace, I'm inviting you onto my team. But over time, you start walking that out, and you start becoming the player that he says you are. And God does that in our lives as we choose to live within the boundaries of his word and trust in him and believe his word, that we take him at his word. In Romans 6, starting in verse 4, the Bible says, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." If there is any voice in you or outside of you telling you something different, it's a lie from hell. God has given us what we need in his word and in his spirit and being part of his family, the church. He's given us what we need to live a new life. And it's not always easy. And we mess it up, but he has empowered us and given us what we need to live a new life. Verse 5, then Romans 6, "Since we have been united with him in his death, we also will be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin." We are no longer slaves to sin. "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." Amen. Amen. You know, there's times that as Christians, the devil just, and even ourselves, sometimes I think we just, for some reason we reminisce. We go back to the old life in Egypt, right? We start thinking about the things we used to do and the things we used to say, and we start thinking about all the, maybe even the people we've hurt through our sins, and we start thinking about the old life, and we start feeling this condemnation. But we've got an awesome deliverer in Christ Jesus. And he brought us out of all those things. And he not only brought us out of Egypt, but he says, I'm taking you to a promised land of walking in freedom and walking in my goodness. Don't look back. Don't look back on that. That's not for you anymore. We're free. We're free. You guys walk that out perfectly? No. Yeah, I don't. I wish I did. Anytime I've got anything but a smile on my face, you know that there's, man, we should be joyful every minute. What Jesus has done for us, he is so awesome. But there's times that experientially, even though we know it's true, we're just not walking out the joy of that freedom. So what do we do about it? You know, how do we come into terms with the freedom Christ has for us? That's our fifth point today. And we want to recognize that God's word is the instrument of freedom. It's the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word applied by his spirit. In John 17, if you've not read it in a while, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. It's a prayer of Jesus. That's as good as it gets. And in that prayer, Jesus is praying for the disciples who were there, for those believers. And then he even mentions us, that he's praying for those who would come later based on them sharing the gospel message and their testimony. And he's praying for his followers. And there in verse 17, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, "Father, make them holy. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Transform them," he's saying, "by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." God has been freeing up followers of Jesus for a couple thousand years now through the word of God. Through the truth of the word of God, and every promise there, Jesus purchased for us with his blood. And when we read the word of God and take God at his word, no matter what our feelings are, no matter what the world says, we can experience freedom. We can have freedom. I want to read over our passage here in John 8 again, starting in verse 27. They still didn't understand that Jesus was talking about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am He. I do nothing on my own but say what the Father has taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases Him." Jesus is telling them, I'm without sin. I don't always do what pleases God, but Jesus did. Jesus did. And He's saying, when He's lifted up, He's saying, listen, when you come to that place where with eyes of faith you can look upon me crucified and you understand that I'm not there for my sin because I always do the will of the Father, I'm there for your sin. And you receive salvation by grace through faith in Christ. When you do that, you're forgiven. And all the promises of God for believers are true for you. Then many who heard Him say these things believed in Him. They heard the word of God. They recognized who Jesus is. And they trusted in Him. They believed His word. So how are they to go from that moment of faith, trusting in Christ, and then start walking out freedom from the power of sin in their lives? Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth." The word "know" here, it doesn't mean in your head. It doesn't mean an intellectual understanding. It means intimacy. Personally, experientially, in your life, you will know on the deepest intimate level. You will know the truth. You will experience the truth of the Word of God, and the truth will set you free. It will set you free. I mentioned Charles Spurgeon earlier. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. He was used mightily of God a long time ago. A lot of people think he's one of the greatest preachers of the last couple hundred years. Toward the end of his life, Spurgeon, he'd seen probably millions of people saved under his ministry and his teaching. And Spurgeon, I think very humbly but very truthfully, because he understood the power of the Word of God, and he said, "I did nothing. I did nothing." He said, "The Word did everything. The Word did everything." Salvation is by God's grace alone.
Amen.
Through faith alone. That's how it gets applied to our person, through faith alone. And it's in Christ alone. It's not in what we know or don't know otherwise, or what we do or don't do. It's only in Christ. And we are made new because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of His blood. But there's also a sense of being made new, of that ongoing walking out our salvation. And there's that process of the Lord saying, "Okay, I've brought you out of Egypt. Okay, you are no longer a slave. You're not in Egypt anymore. Now I want you to listen to me and let me get all of Egypt out of you." That's a longer process. But He is faithful. He is faithful, and He uses the Word of God to do that. But Jesus here, He's speaking not only to those who believed in Him, He's speaking to the whole crowd. And some of the crowd is too prideful and too arrogant, and they just aren't listening to Jesus. And they just won't admit that they're sinners. They won't admit that they need Jesus and acknowledge the truth. So they said, "We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" their people had had a whole lot of experience in slavery. They were slaves to the Assyrians and to the Babylonians and to the Egyptians, and even in this time which they're speaking, the Romans are occupying their land. They've hardly known anything other than slavery. But they're prideful and they won't admit it. And even as Jesus is speaking to them, every single one of them, until they trust in Christ, they are enslaved by sin. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins, and we all sin, but he's talking about those who are unrepentant. He's saying, listen, those who continue on in sin, those who don't turn away from it, those who continually turn back to sin, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, if Jesus sets you free, you are truly free. Jesus can set you free today. He can set me free today. Not only from the penalty of sin, that's the first step, but that ongoing freedom from the power of sin. There's times that over the Christian life, I thought when I first came to Jesus that, I mean, he met me and changed me in such a powerful way that I just thought, I'm just giving him everything. That's what I expressed to him. But then over the years, we find out I had a few things in boxes that I kept under the table that I didn't bring up because I didn't really want to face those things or talk about them. But those things are a weight that shackles us. You know, whatever it is, whether it is some sin stronghold or whatever, you know, I don't know for you what that might be. But I do know our Savior, and I can tell you that he is faithful to free us up from anything and everything that we trust him with. We go to the Word of God and we read what it says about those things, and then we trust him and we take him at his word. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. There's an example in Scripture in 1 Samuel that I want to share with you. I'll close here in just a moment. An illustration in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 5, it talks about a time when the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. And they take the Ark and they put it in the temple of one of their false gods, the temple of Dagon. And they come in the morning into the temple, and this huge false god, the statue of Dagon, is face down on the floor in front of the ark. They're freaked out. They're like, man, that's kind of crazy, but you know, we don't want to make Dagon upset, so let's help out our god a little bit. And they put him back up on his pedestal. They come back the next day, and Dagon is face down in front of the ark again. Now his head is severed, and his hands are chopped off. God's making a point, emphatically. And I think it's a great illustration. In the Ark of the Covenant were the stone tablets that Moses had received from God. In the Ark was God's word. And the idol had to fall and be smashed in the presence of God's word. That's what he does in my life. There's time in my life over and over again, I've taken something, maybe it's just an unforgiving attitude. Maybe it's just a lack of faith in some relationship, you know, whatever it is. But where I have taken something and I have fought against it and fought against it and thought, this doesn't belong in my life as a Christian. That doesn't belong in my heart. That doesn't belong in my mind. I've done my best. I'm going to topple that thing. I'm going to knock it over. I'm going to work really hard and work up a sweat, and I'm going to knock that thing over. Maybe I'm going to be so bold as to think, I'm just going to push that on out of the temple. You know, I'm going to remove that. And And what I find that when I do that, I just get frustrated. Because I may think I can budget a little bit, but it's not going for my effort. But when I go to the Word of God and I see, what does God say about this? I know what I say about this. What does God say about it?
Right.
And I hear the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit reminds me, that promise is for you. That promise is for you. Don't you've been fighting against that for years. That's not the point. That's not reality. Reality is the Word of God. Truth is the Word of God. And when you bring the Word of God in, God uses His Word and the power of His Spirit to break those idols, to take them down. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free today. I'm going to pray for us here in a moment. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come back up. But I want to take a few minutes as I pray just to quietly let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. He's revealing new things to me over time that I need freed up from. So this is for me as much as it's for any of you today. And I don't know what He's going to say to me, but I want to hear Him and I want to trust Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your incredible love and mercy and grace that took You to the cross to make a way for us to be free. Not only declared free, but really free. Not only judicially free, but experientially free. God, we know it pleases You and glorifies You when Your sons and daughters walk out the freedom that You purchased. Lord, we ask Your Holy Spirit now to speak to our hearts, to speak truth to us. If there's anything in our lives, maybe that first step of freedom, of just saying, Jesus, I need You. I'm not free yet, but I want to be. I want to be free from my sin. I want to be free from the guilt and the shame. I want to be free. And we need to confess that and in faith, trust in our Savior. Lord, I pray that You would speak that to somebody today if that's what they need to hear. Lord, remind us through Your Word that You are an awesome God. You speak the Word and You bring the dead to life. You speak a Word and You cause the blind to see, God. You speak a Word and the deaf hear and the mute speak and the lame walk, because You are an awesome God. Lord, help us not to get it mixed up and think it's us speaking Your Word, but it's You speaking Your Word. And us taking You at Your Word. That You know everything we're dealing with. And that You look on us with love and with compassion. Lord, remind each one who is Your child this morning that they are Your child. Remind us that we are not only redeemed of sin, Lord, but You have broken that power so that we can know the beauty of Your holiness, that we can know the beauty of Your good and pleasing and perfect will, that we can know the beauty of You working in our lives in meaningful ways, God. Thank You that You've got a purpose for every one of us, that You save us on purpose for a purpose, Lord, and that's to know You and make You known. Lord, we just invite You. I just want to be quiet for a moment, Lord, and invite You, please, to speak whatever word you need to speak to somebody here today. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for releasing us from our chains on that galley ship of sin and death. Thank you for giving us freedom. Thank you for giving your people your word. Thank you for the cross, Lord, and all of your wonderful promises to your people. Help us to walk out that freedom today, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.